in 1 Thessalonians. Why is this important? Because too many times we confuse the three parts. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this, verse 23, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." He goes on to tell us in another section where he said that your soul is being saved. Your spirit is who you really are. If you're not born again and you haven't got the spirit of life in you, which is the spirit of Christ, then you're dead in your sins. In other words, your spiritual being that you are, and everybody has a spirit. Everybody that's created by God has a spirit. They live in a body, and they have a soul, a mind, a will, emotions. Before you got born again and had the Spirit of Christ come into you, or the Spirit of life come into you, you have been ordered around and your life has been led by the soulish realm. The soul, meaning the will, the emotions, the feelings, the thoughts, all these things that you wanted, the body and the spirit being dead and no life in it, so it couldn't lead you because it's dead. You ever get a dead person lead you? Can't happen. And so the body is just a tent. It's just a physical thing. It's something that you need to be able to exist in this earthly realm. Amen? You can't go up into heaven with this body unless God does a quick transference of glory on you, where the body now is able to enter into the realm of the heavenlies. Otherwise, if your body goes up into heaven, it's going to disintegrate before it gets too far up there. The body's just a tent. It's just a covering. That's not who you are. Who you are is what Christ said when he said, Paul said, "I was crucified with Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." He wasn't talking about the body being crucified. He was talking about the soul being crucified. His will, his emotions, his feelings, his thoughts, he took to the cross and he nailed it there. And he said, "I will no longer be led by this. I will no longer be led by this, because it led me away from life and led me to death." So he got to a place where he said, "No more. I'm done." He found out the truth in Christ on that road to Damascus. He found out what it meant to be alive. The first time in his life, he was going around persecuting the church, killing Christians because of their faith in Christ. But he found out, this is life. See, if you haven't found out what life is yet, maybe you need to find out and get saved. Life is filled with joy. Life is filled with peace. Life is filled with love and acceptance. Life is filled with all the good things that God ever gave to mankind. That's what life is truly all about. It's not just being saved and going to heaven. Yes, that's the cherry on top of the sundae, if you will. But it isn't all about that. It's all about what you're doing down here now. Your life was meant to bring glory to God. Do you think mumbling and complaining brings glory to God? Sickness doesn't bring glory to God. All of these things that have come out of that natural realm, God intended for us to be free from. Do I believe God wants all men to be healed? Absolutely, 100%. Do I believe that you can live in a place where there's no sickness and disease in your body down here? I believe that 100%. Do you believe that God can provide for you exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or hope for in your provision and where your finances are concerned? Where everything? Yeah, I believe that also. If he owns all the gold and silver, and I'm his son, and I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ, I should never have a money problem. Never. It's amazing what God can do. Do I believe that God wants us to enjoy life down here? Absolutely. He gave us everything to enjoy. We're supposed to have a fun time down here. Amen? But it's also not where we belong. This is not our home. We're sojourners. We're passing through. You go on vacation. You go down there. You look at this place. Boy, I love this place. I love the weather. I love all this. I like that. I think I'll move there. Then you move there and you find out there's a whole lot of people just like the ones you left behind. Amen? When this world and the things of this world brings you such joy that you don't want to spend time with Jesus, something happened. We lost our way. The Bible actually says that you were seated in heavenly places right next to Jesus right now. You are spiritually connected to Jesus Christ right now in heavenly places. Your body's here, but I'm there.
Yes, amen.
So I see things from his perspective. I'm looking down on these things, not looking up at them. I'm looking down over it. Matter of fact, where I'm seated, there is no time. Listen to this. Where I'm seated, there is no time. So it's very easy to have patience. It's very easy to endure. Because there is no time. See, when I'm impatient, it means I'm watching the clock, waiting for something to happen that hasn't happened yet.
Come on now.
But I don't have no time up there. I'm not tapping my fingers and tapping my toes saying, where are you, God? Because I'm seated right next to him. But see, the difference between believing it and receiving it is because most of us live in a mindset, well, I see everything down here and everything's moving down here, and I touch this and I touch that and that's not doing what I want and I can't get that. So they live down here in this earthly realm, in their soulish realm, even though their spirit's up there, their soul's still down here. That's why he talks about your soul being saved. Coming in the relationship of that resurrected life. Oh, that's fine to say. Nobody can do that. Paul did it. All the disciples were able to do it. Many people since then may have been doing it. One of my favorite men of faith, Smith Wigglesworth, was able to do it. Why? Because Smith didn't let this world encroach in on his position in Christ. He didn't read the newspapers. By the grace of God at that time, I don't know if he had radio. Yeah, he had radio then. But a lot of the things that we now fall into, the trap of what I call the trap of the enemy, which is getting on the tablets, and I'm just as guilty as everybody, computers, TV, watching movies, going all these things. I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm just saying they take so much of our time, we don't have time. Our mind is glued to the things of this world rather than glued to the things above. That is the work of the enemy. His total work is to get your mind off of Christ, get your soulish realm back onto this world and your life. Wow, let me show you. Glory to God. Listen to this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. That means separate you for him. And I tell you this, and I'll say it again. I've said it millions of times. Don't try to do this on your own. Ask God to do it. Ask him to help you. Help. I'm a willing participant with God, and I tell him this every day, I can't do this without you. Unless you lead me, unless you guide me, unless you bring me, I'm not going. Moses set it up on the mountain. He said, Lord, unless you move from this place, we're not moving. Unless God is moving in us, we're not moving. We're not changing unless the one who changes works in us. All I need to know is this. I need help. And the only one my help comes from the Lord. No other place. No other place. No other person. Not even myself. Look what he says. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So he's telling us all three of these parts have to be working together. I tell everybody this, the same thing. I'll tell them again and again and again. I believe it with all my heart. He said, where two or more agree on any one thing in Jesus' name, it'll come to pass. How do you get two to agree? Now, I'm talking about you individually, in your life, my life. I need to get my soul and my spirit in agreement. The body will follow. Many times, my spirit is saying one thing and my mind is saying something else. I know what God said, but. I know what God said, but. And we keep going that way. And pretty soon we're balanced and trying to get it together like this. And our life is a miserable wreck instead of a perfectly tuned musical instrument to be played by God. Because that's what you're called to be. You're called, your life is to be a wonderful symphony orchestra, bringing forth the melody straight out of heaven down here. You say you can't sing or play an instrument? Yes, you can. Every time you speak the melodious words of God, it brings peace and joy. Look at what music does. I'll tell you what, when you get somebody who knows they're lost and they need help from God and you bring them help from God by bringing the word to them, watch them dance for joy when they receive it. Hallelujah. In Romans 8, is that where I'm at? No, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians. I wanted to go there, didn't I? Hallelujah. We're talking about building our house. First Corinthians chapter 3. Let's start. Oh man. Let's start in verse 5, I guess. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved as if through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apostle or Cephas or the world or life or death or all or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Now go back up to verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For there are envy and strife and divisions among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Go into Romans chapter 8. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So you can have either life. We see it now. We see it. We see the spiritual life and we see the carnal life here in America right now. It's very clear. We see it in the church. Very clear. Those who, how do I judge myself? Well, what's most prominent in your mind? What do you think on the most? What are you paying attention to? What is the most important thing in your life that you're fixated on? Is it your relationship with God? Is it the walk in Christ? Is that what you're looking at and you're saying, Lord, I'm willing, help me, whatever. Or is your mind set on the things below, down here? We got to decide that ourselves. We need to know that. Nobody should come up and point out to you, oh, you're in the flesh. No. If you're born again, you already know it. We all know it. I know when I get into the flesh. Nobody has to tell me. Amen? And I guarantee you, everybody, every day, get somewhat into the flesh. All of us do. But how long do we spend there? When we're babies, we spend a lot more time in the things of the flesh than as you grab to be a little bit older. As you grow up and you start taking responsibility, and you start acknowledging that you have a life that you're responsible for, and you have others that you're responsible for, then you're not sitting there looking at yourself saying, well, what about me? What do I want? I want this. I want that. And your whole life is fixated on getting the things of this world. Why he said, don't love the things of this world. Again, I reiterate, I'm not telling you can't enjoy things of this world. I'm not telling you. But if that's the focus, if 90% of your life is fixated on getting something, doing something in this worldly system rather than on God, we're missing the boat here. When the waves come, when the storms attack, trust me, that is not built on a solid foundation of Jesus Christ. That's built on the solid foundation of a soulish realm and a soulish person. And it's deadly for us. Because storms will come, I promise you. Don't go, that's just a bad confession. No, it isn't. That's truth. Jesus said it. In this life, you'll have trouble. But fear not, I have overcome this life. So what he did was, I'm going to show you how to live a life overcoming the storms of life, being prepared for the storms of life, not waiting for them to come to knock you down, but standing strong when they come. That's what this life is all about. Being victorious. And when you are victorious, you always will always want to share that victory with someone else. You'll always do that. You're not impressed with the things you got. You're not impressed with the house you got. You're not impressed with the car you drive. You're not impressed with these things. If they come, they come. Praise God. We thank God for them. But if they go, we praise God for them. Amen? Amen? And if we can't let go of those things, maybe we're not got a hold of Jesus enough, because you can't hold all of that in your hands. You can't hold the Christ in your hands and all these things of this world in your hands. You got to let go of something. I think he said it this way: you can't serve two masters. You can't love one and love the other at the same time. Hallelujah. Where was I reading? 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. So in other words, what are we talking about? We're talking about life. Amen? He said you can't have the life that I've given to you if all your mind is set on the things of this world constantly, and the things of this world, getting things of this world, doing things of this world. He said it once this way. He said this. He said, the just shall live by faith. Amen? The just shall live by faith. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So he's acknowledging we need earthly bread for the physical body. It's required. But if that's all we think about, the spiritual man, like we talked about last week, will eventually wither up, and like a dust storm will come along and blow it right away. We got to feed the spirit man. He's real. That's what I said to you in the beginning. You're a three-part person. God is a three-part person. You are spirit, soul, and body. You ready for this? God is spirit. His Son is in heaven right now with a body. And the Holy Spirit is the soulish realm where he comes down. Three-part person. Three parts. Making the fullness. If God was three parts, and he is, if he's three parts, and he is, if one of those parts did not come in alignment with the other two parts, there'd be division. A divided house shall not stand. If Satan could have got either the Son or the Father or the Holy Spirit to come in disagreement with the other two, he might have been able to win. If he can get you in disagreement, it's very likely he's going to win. Think about that. If you think that Satan's just not real, he's just a figment of somebody's imagination, or he's really not interested in you, he's after you. Oh, he's not going to get me. Don't take heed lest you think you stand. We're all subject to the beef. If he came and tempted Jesus, come on now. If he tempted Jesus, hallelujah. Let me do this again. Let me go back here. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Separated from God. To be carnally minded is separation from God. Who's he talking to? The church. He's not talking to the world. When he said, listen, I wanted to talk to you as mature Christians, he said, I couldn't bring it to you. I had to speak only as little babies to you. Who is he talking to? The church. Let me tell you something. As an adult, there's things that's required of me I don't like doing. I'd rather be like a little kid and just ignore it. Pretend it's not there. I'll just let it go. I'm not going to go out there and shovel that snow. I'll just let it sit there. You understand what I'm saying? But because I grew up, now some people didn't think I grew up till last year, but that's fine. If God gave me a year, that's fine. I grew up last year. I'm going to tell you what. I have to be responsible.
Come on.
And I'm responsible not only for myself. I'm responsible for my family. I'm responsible for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm responsible for even my enemies. Believe it or not, I'm supposed to pray for them. I need to grow up and become responsible. That's what God's asking for us. Come on, grow up a little bit. Stop whining and crying all the time because you don't get your own way. You're not always going to get your way. But I'll tell you this, if you are seeking God first in your life, you'll get His way, which is much better than your way. Because you don't know what you need, He does. He sees the deep recesses of your heart, those hidden places that even you can't see. He brings the candle of the Word of God and the candle of the Holy Spirit into your heart, and He searches those places out, because those hidden crevices have hidden enemy in it, and it's always there to try to draw you away from the light back into the darkness. And if we don't deal with them, and He realizes that, that's why He brings people to aggravate you. People, I was going down the road yesterday, and I'm thinking of someone, and I'm not going to say who. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, you're all included. No, I was thinking of someone, and I'm thinking, oh God, if I could just get this person to do this, and if I could just get him to do that, and God just very clearly said, that's not your responsibility. That's my responsibility. You're called to love them. You're called to speak to them life. You do what you're supposed to do. I'll take care of my part. That's what we do. We get caught up in these things. And we get carnally minded. What would Jesus... Well, you know, remember the old thing? We used to wear bracelets. WJD. What would Jesus do? It was a bracelet people used to wear all the time. What would Jesus do? Remind them. Well, the Jewish nation had what they call phylacteries on their... I think that's how it's pronounced anyways. God said, keep the word between your eyes. So what He would do, they would put one on a band with a box on it, and they'd have the word printed on the inside. I don't know what that was going to do. You can't read it, but it's in there. And then they would have one on the wrist. Just to remind them of the Word of God, just to remind. Sometimes we need to have a reminder. Amen. Sometimes we got to have a reminder. Somebody to say, you know what? You're acting like a carnal Christian. You're acting like a baby Christian. Grow up. I got quiet. Yeah. Amen? Why? It's not for the benefit of others, although it is a benefit to others if you're not whining all the time. Somebody's got to change your diapers all the time. That's a benefit. It doesn't smell good sometimes. But anyways.
You have to throw that in there.
Yeah. You understand? Listen, it is a benefit to others, but the greatest benefit is you.
Amen.
Me.
Yes.
When I finally get my mind off the things of this world and stop looking, I listen to people on the radio. I got to turn them off anymore. There is so much negativity, so much lies, so much untruths out there. I mean, it's amazing. And people, Christians get caught up, and there's factions and fighting and strife because of one's a Trumper and the other one's a whatever. And so they're fighting and arguing. Families are breaking up over this thing and all this stuff. Why? Because they got their eyes on the things below instead of things above. Are we to pray down here for these people? Absolutely. Pray for them. But don't get caught up in the mess. Don't spend more time listening to negativity instead of positivity. The only positive thing in this world is right here. You understand that? There is nothing else. When you're around people who are negative all the time about the things of God, He warns you. Well, keep your finger there. I'll go over to this one. Hallelujah. Because we're building life on the rock. When the storms come and everybody else is swept away, we're going to be standing strong. Amen?
Amen.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. All right, Psalm 1. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And if he will do this, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Those who get, look, you're going to be around people like that. God did not pray, or Jesus did not pray to the Heavenly Father, Father, take them out of the world. But he did pray this, keep them from the evil one. Keep them from the evil one. How many of you know that you can listen? Oh, excuse me, let me change that. You can hear, but you don't have to listen. Happens all the time with your husband and wife. Right? You hear it, but you're not listening. You can be around the scornful and hear what they're saying, but not listen to it. That means you're not taking it in. You're just going, amen? Now, if you're husband and wife, don't use that excuse. That's not part of it. Oh, yeah, you remember what Pastor Dave said? I don't have to listen to you. No, he didn't. I didn't say that. I did not say that. I'm talking about hanging around the world and being like them, because you will become like them eventually. If you spend more time with the ungodly or more time with Christians, who do you think you're going to become like? Why do you say, don't be unevenly yoked? I talked to someone, how's your relationship with God? It's not as good as it was. How come? Well, I'm hanging around this guy that doesn't believe in Jesus. Not hanging around, but they had to work with him. Constantly being negative, constantly talking against God, constantly talking against. There's nothing you can do. You can be there, but you don't have to listen. Hear what he's saying. Be wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove. You don't jump on them and declare this, this, and this. But I'm going to tell you what, when they are speaking, you can be speaking God's word in your heart. Mm-hmm. I know, it works. Amen. Amen. Amen? You don't have to put up with it. Don't put up with it. There's a war going on for your soul. If you're born again, he can't get your spirit, but he can get your soul, and he can do it by affecting your body. Prime example, Job. Amen? Job. His physical body was affected. People around him tried to get him to, what? Deny Christ, deny his God. Matter of fact, his own wife said to him, why don't you deny your God and just die? People all around him constantly badgering him, tearing him down, telling him, oh, he must have done something wrong. Oh, you're this and you're all that. Where'd it come from? Sickness came from Satan. It didn't come from God. It didn't come from any other place. The enemy will use it. I might bring a video, and I want to bring something in to bring you to that, but you can keep a hedge around you. That hedge is made up of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he can't get past it without permission from God the Father. And God the Father doesn't need another Job. He had one. He doesn't need another sacrifice. He had one. You notice that all the things that Paul endured, all the things that Paul endured and the other disciples, not one time was he sick. Sickness didn't get to him. Oh, well, I get off that subject. Hallelujah. Let me go back to Romans chapter 8. Did we finish that? I don't know. Hallelujah. Okay, Romans 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death or separation from God, but to be spiritually minded is life, life, life. Spiritually minded, there's life. Spiritually minded, there's life is in the Spirit. The Word of God is life and peace to those who find it. It's life and it's health to all their flesh. Proverbs 4, it's life. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or an enemy against God. for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. It will not submit to the Word of God. It will not submit to the Spirit of God. It will do its own things because it loves the world more than it loves God and the things of this world. Hallelujah. You love me? So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. For the only way to please God is by faith. Because you must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who what? Yeah. Diligently. That means consistently seek Him. Yeah. Consistently. Not just once in a while, not on a Sunday morning, not on whatever days, every day of the week. The Bible says, if you acknowledge me in all your ways, I will direct your path. Think about that. You want a path led by God, knowing that He already knows the traps that are set before you. He already knows the things that are trying to destroy your life. And He said, I will guide you right through all that stuff. And if it comes, don't fear, because it cannot overtake you. It cannot overpower you. Because I am with you. And I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We have three parts, the spirit, soul, and body. The body is just a tent, just a covering. It's nothing. The soul is the battleground. The spirit's already been made alive in Christ. Amen? The spirit's already alive, seated with God in heavenly places. But that soul is still a battleground going on. In Romans 12, he said, be not conformed to this world. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The soul, again, is the battleground. And if you don't think so, read the scriptures and find out, because we think in our own lives, we're all right. It's that one that's wrong. I'm fine. No, it's that one that's wrong. No. If there's no peace, you're carnally minded. If you're not experiencing the life that God intended for you. Jesus said, I came to give it to you abundant life. Abundant life. That means exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or hope for. The abundant life. That's what He came to give you. Amen? It's ours. It's ours. That's when the Lord says, if you can believe. If you can believe. If you're carnally minded, you're going to struggle with belief. But if you're spiritually minded, you already know you're healed. You already know you got your provision. You already know it's all done. It's finished. I'm seated in heavenly places. There's no time up here. I know it's already done. I just turn to the Lord Jesus and say, thank you. You're seated right next to me. Just say, thank you. You took all my sickness and all my disease. I want to thank you for that. Oh. Is there a life like that? Yeah. That life is in Christ, not in us. In Christ. The Christ in us, the hope of glory. The very life that came up out of that grave was seen by 500 people, preached to the disciples. That very life is alive in me, coursing through every vein, every cell, every atom of this body is alive in Christ. Every sickness has been nailed to the cross. Every disease has been removed by the blood of Jesus Christ flowing through this body, cleansing it of all sickness, all disease, all fear, all temptations. All of that stuff that'll pull you away from that life comes from without. It doesn't come from within. As from what's in there has already been glorified, already been purified, already been sanctified. But out here, in this mind, it's still not fully, completely renewed. It's fully, not completely operating out of the kingdom of God. It's operating still out of the fleshly realm. So I'm always thinking about, what is it I want to eat? Where do I want to go? What do I want to do? I'm always thinking of these things down here instead of thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to eat? You understand? Oh, you mean to tell me every time you sit down and eat, you got to ask God? No, what I ask God, give me wisdom on what I should and should not eat. Give me a desire for that which is healthy and perfect. Am I there yet? Obviously not, but I'm getting there. I understand that. I'm not there yet. But I'm getting younger, not older. You understand, my youth is being renewed as the eagles. I'm getting wiser because I've lived long enough to understand that God has taken me through so much junk, but I'm still standing. Not by my works, not by my strength, not by my wisdom, by His grace. Now the wisdom I'm gaining is not to go back into the same place I was in. Not to do the same things, not to say the same things, not to think the same things. If I was pulled out of a fire once, I'm not going to play with matches.
Come on. That's right.
Glory to God. The worst thing in the world, and I'm going to close with this. And I've seen it happen over and over and over. You finally get out of debt. You get out of all your credit card debt. You finally get out of debt. And the next thing you know, you're already back in there. Say, well, I only have this much in there now because before I had thousands. Now I only got hundreds, so I can still use it. And we go right back into the same boat because we did not gain enough wisdom the first time. God saved you once. Don't go back into the mess. He took you out of that once. Galatians said, look, having begun in the spirit, are you going to now be perfected in the flesh? Are you going to go back into that fleshly way of living? How do I know I'm in the flesh? You got your mind on the things below rather than the things above. Amen? God's got a life for us. He's got a life for us. Don't waste it. Oh, I'll go to heaven and I will live for eternity with Christ and praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But there's a life you've got to live down here until that point. How you live it is determined by your decisions that you make in alignment with God's will or your own. And just because it looks good for the moment, you don't know the traps that are being set for you ahead of you. And the price you pay for it could be extraordinary. It's not to bring fear, it's to bring wisdom. Don't you ever let fear control your life. Unless it's the fear of God. Let that happen. Amen? All right, let's bow our heads. Then we're going to have communion.